Welcome to another episode of Daryl Davis Black and Green. Hey everybody, I just want to thank all of our listeners and express my gratitude. We're doing some amazing things with this podcast, with the Committee for Justice, with the community in Westchester and beyond. Very excited to announce that I've done two Facebook Live broadcasts over the past month. They've been tremendously successful. And like this program, the goal is to empower the community. The goal is to have like-minded people networking. The goal is to put out information that we can act on to empower our communities politically and economically. And to that end, I must say that I am blown away by the response from the Facebook Lives. So I say all that to say that that is going to be an ongoing thing. I actually did it to... I did it to get around going to Peekskill City Council meetings. The reason I did that is because the last time I went to a Peekskill City Council meeting a few months ago, the mayor of Peekskill, Vivian McKenzie, decided to call the police on me while I was speaking from the podium. Now, I promised her I would be back, but then I thought about it. I am back, but I'm not there at that podium. I am now at a podium where I can speak for more than 3 minutes. I can speak about whatever I want to speak about. I can speak without the police breathing down my neck, waiting for me to hit the 3 minute mark so they can pounce on me like they have in the past. And so that has freed me up. And it occurred to me that the reason that I've gotten such a tremendous response is that most people who know Daryl Davis know me through the Lily White Westchester County media, LoHUD, News 12. These are the major, the Daily Voice. These are the major, Peekskill Herald. These are the major medias in this area. And they have covered me extensively, but from a very, very white perspective. And then the comments, the comments are full of racist comments, no real black voices. And so now you have Facebook Live, where I'm exposed to thousands of people that can just log on and listen to what I have to say unedited, unrushed, and raw, you know. And I'm excited and I'm happy and I'm proud of what I've done on these first two Facebook Lives, the text messages, the emails, the comments. I'm still working my way through them. It's just been insane. And so we're going to build on that, you know. And like this podcast, I'm asking people on Facebook Live to join my email list. You can go to my, by the way, if you're not following me on my Facebook page and you have Facebook, go over to Daryl Davis, D-A-R-R-E-L-L Davis. And I have my join my email list pinned at the top of the page. Click on it, put your email address in there and click submit. And then you will be on a list that eventually where I can send an email out and say, hey, we need a few hundred people in front of this place of business who is disrespecting our community. Hey, we need a few hundred people to call Senator Schumer or Senator Gillibrand and push for funding for public housing. That is the goal, because right now we are on our own. The Democratic Party has abandoned the black community. Well, Daryl, I see a lot of black elected officials. Well, they're not representing the black community, and that's a problem. And so where you see these black elected officials, they are generally, overwhelmingly there to just serve their white bosses. They are there for photo ops. They are not there to speak up for the black community, and that is a problem. That makes the Democratic Party one of the biggest oppressors of black people. Because when you have millions of voters throwing their votes away, you are oppressing that group. And that's what the Democratic Party is doing. And so many of us have woken up. We said, we're not picking your cotton anymore. We're going to form an independent voting bloc, and we will give those votes to whoever responds to the needs of our communities. That's a smarter way of using the power of the vote rather than just showing up and voting for whichever white millionaire the Democrats put in front of you, generally white male millionaire. That's not democracy. That's not representation. You don't even know these people, and they don't know you. You know nothing about the world they live in. We don't live in that world. This world of millionaires and billionaires owning houses on the East Coast and the West Coast and townhouses in Aruba and Puerto Rico. We don't know these people. And they're clueless what our reality is. They make promises to get our votes, and we give them to them. But we got to stop doing that. Instead of turning to them, we need to turn to each other. And that's what I'm pushing. And by the way, it's been extremely effective. Now, let me just say this about these rules at the Peekskill City Council meeting, because, you know, the mayor, Vivian McKenzie, she's been running around town saying, well, Daryl, you know, yeah, I call the police because Daryl doesn't follow the rules. Let's talk about that. These rules that the mayor and city council enforce with the help of the police and many times as many as 30 cops in the room, which means 30 guns in the room for peaceful citizens exercising free speech. That's pretty ugly. That's pretty ugly. And so these rules were put in place around 2010 by former mayor Mary Foster, the racist Tea Party mayor who we toppled. We got her voted out. We got off the Democratic Party plantation and voted for Republican and got her out, because she was going after public housing and our community center, and she was trying to gentrify. But since there was a room full of black people protesting this at the council meetings, and we would get up speaker after speaker after speaker to be heard, to speak out against racism, to speak out against gentrification, to speak out against all these cops in the room, the mayor and the council sat there and did not respond to anybody. They imposed a 3-minute rule. They bought this giant clock in there, turned everything into a freaking circus, and just sat there. And when the 3 minutes was over, they told you to sit down or be arrested. Those are very oppressive rules. Now, here's the thing. We wrote to the Commission on Open Government. Can they tell you what you can talk about? So what they did was they changed the rules where they put a 3-minute clock, and then they said you can only talk about what we put on the agenda. They never put our issues on the agenda. So they said you could speak at the end of the meeting on anything you want, but in the beginning of the meeting, you can only speak about what we put on the agenda. So basically what they started doing was stacking the agenda, where there should have been 10 resolutions, there was 20 and 30. Stupid stuff that didn't even belong there, to make a room full of black people wait hours to be able to have our say. Many times they got up and walked out before we were able to speak. And so that was very oppressive. The other thing that they do is the Commission on Open Government said, you don't have to have a segment for citizens to speak, but if you do, you cannot tell them what to talk about. And so when I got up to speak at the city council meeting a few months ago to relay to Mayor Vivian McKenzie, Peekskill Mayor Vivian McKenzie, that you need to start appointing people to the Housing Authority Board who are sympathetic and have compassion for public housing residents instead of your developer friends that are there to gentrify. And I got 30 seconds into my speech where she interrupted me. Does this have anything to do with what's on the agenda? And I said, no, but I've been coming here for 40 years and I'm going to be heard. Chief, come and get him out of here, chief. That's fascism. When you attack free speech, when you try to shut down the ability of black people to talk and be heard That's fascism. And so this is why Darryl Davis exists as the activist that I am. You know, it's interesting that I've traveled the country as a guest speaker, shared the podium with Dick Gregory, Angela Davis, and H. Rapp Brown, and others. Been hired by Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton and Governor Patterson and Governor Cuomo, and worked with all of these people. But most people know me for fighting the ugly racism of my hometown of Peekskill, New York. I've been featured in New York Magazine and national TV shows. But yet here I am, still fighting for 40 years for the rights of poor people, working poor, and black and brown people to exist in Peekskill, New York. That is a freaking disgrace. And we will continue to fight until it's won. Now, please subscribe, be a paid subscriber to this podcast. They come after me viciously. They come after my income repeatedly. Your support there helps me to get through these dry spells where I go without income or I get hit, take financial hits. I also pay for my own gas when you call me to come to Kingston or Poughkeepsie or Newburgh or New Rochelle. 99% of my phone calls are people asking for help. And so, you know, we have to start donating to the movement. We have to develop a liberation consciousness. We got to stop giving our money to the Democratic Party, who gives us nothing in return, and the NAACP, who gives us nothing in return, and the Red Cross, who pays their president about $700,000 a year, and you don't see no benefits in your community. So we have to change that mentality. We have to go back to the 60s, and when celebrities were doing fundraisers for black activists and Black Panthers and what have you. Everything we got as a community came from the activists, not the elected officials. Well, Darryl, they passed this law and that. Yeah, they passed it after we took to the streets or marched on Washington, and then they passed legislation that benefited us. So we have to change our thinking and our commitments as black people. And in terms of voting, we got to start running our own candidates just like we did in the 60s. Jesse Jackson in 1984 was the man. I was never, now I know Jesse's ailing, you know, but I was never a Jesse Jackson fan. And when his team asked me to run his campaign in this area, I said no, but eventually I was convinced to do it. And I saw Jesse Jackson really be the man. And he was on a freaking mission, and he shook up America and scared America. He was going to win the Democratic Party nomination, but they were changing the rules in the middle of the game and rigging it. And then, of course, you had the controversy with the Jewish community where they crucified him and made him apologize for an off-color remark he made in private. And, you know, based on that, they went after him. But my point is, the power of the black vote, when we use it independently, when we just stop blindly going to the polls and pulling the lever because it's a Democrat on the ballot. Got to be smarter than that. So again, go over to Darryl Davis, my Facebook page, D-A-R-R-E-L-L Davis. Join the email list, be on that email blast when we say, hey, you know, we marching. We making phone calls. We need to fundraise. Be a part of a real movement that's making change. Also, be a paid subscriber. It's only $9 a month. It's like buying me a cup of coffee twice a month. You can do that. All right. So that's it. I'm going to wind this down. And, you know, look out for me on Facebook Live. We're crushing it. We're having an impact on people's lives. We're becoming more powerful, more unified, and get involved. And always remember, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.